this morning to commemorate and to remember the most important event in the history of the world, and help us understand not only the fact of it, but the implications for us personally. Now, as we look to some scripture and the truth of your word, may it come alive to us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And good morning. I can't quit thinking about if every one of you stopped at Fireside Cafe, I'm going to have to get a part-time job just to pay for all that coffee. Thank you, Dave, for offering that on my behalf. That's very generous of you. Appreciate that. Well, here we are. Let's start by just considering some of our favorite Easter memories as children. Okay? What are some of your favorite memories growing up as a child on Easter? Honestly, some of my favorite memories have to do with Easter baskets. Okay? Just saying. My parents always hid them at night, and then in the morning we'd have to go search for them somewhere in the house, and they always found different places to hide them every year. We'd go to the place from last year and they weren't there. And they were always full of jelly beans and chocolate and candy, and it was like the only time of year besides Halloween that you could have a lot of candy and it was okay, right? And this one year I remember looking for it and I found my basket and they had hid it above a heat register. And all the chocolate was melting. I was so depressed. And I tried to bargain with my siblings to trade some of my melted for the, and that didn't really work. Some of my other favorite memories are one year my parents bought little chickens and gave us little chicks for Easter. And you know how long that lasted? About 2 days. And we totally neglected them out. You know, the first day was exciting, and then we neglected them. My parents sold the chickens, and it was a nice memory. But I also have memories of dressing up for church and going to church on Easter and always looking forward to that. And I really didn't understand the significance of Easter, but it always felt special. It always felt different on Easter, and I didn't know why. I think I know why now, but it was always unique. Well, what's your favorite memory? And maybe today will be added to one of your favorite memories. And I have to tell you that I've been thinking a lot about eternity, more than usual, the last couple weeks. It's always kind of on my mind. But with the passing of one of our pastors and our elders and a dear, dear friend, Al Rockman, almost 3 weeks ago now, it has me thinking about eternity more than ever, more than ever. On top of that, just this past Thursday, on Maundy Thursday, my first cousin passed away. My dad's brother's son, he's several years older than me, but he was kind of a mentor when I was younger growing up. I always looked up to him. So he left the earth on Thursday. So death is a great reminder that there is an eternity, and a great reminder that we're all just passing through, that no one has a permanent address on planet Earth. Nobody is here permanently. In fact, Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto man once to die. Every single human being has an appointment with death. We just don't know when it is. And every one of us will cross that threshold of death, and then what's on the other side of that threshold? And how much thought do you and I give to what happens after we die? And when we die, is that it? It's all over and we just cease to exist, there's nothing more? Or is there an eternity? And does everyone live forever in one of two places? Is there a heaven? And if so, does everybody go there? Or just some? And what determines where you go when you die? I don't think there's a more important question that needs to be answered than that question, because that's forever and ever. Is there purpose and meaning that extends beyond our time on this earth? Well, where do we get answers to those kind of questions? I mean, we can turn to philosophy, or we can turn to world religions, or psychology, or the media, or the philosophy of our parents, or our grandparents, or what we grew up with, or we can turn to the philosophy of the American culture. But I choose to look to the Bible to answer life's most important questions, because I really believe that God wants us to know the purpose and meaning of life and what happens after here. And he wants us to know that, so he shared it with us in his book. And I'd like to start by asking this question. Is Jesus dead or alive? And what do you believe about that? Because how you answer that can determine a direction. We all know that he died, or most people agree that he died, but not all people agree that he rose from the dead. A lot of people debate the resurrection of the dead, and there's a lot of theories around the resurrection. In fact, in 1965, a scholar by the name of Hugh Schonfield wrote a book called The Passover Plot. And the essence of the book, The Passover Plot, illustrates every argument that tries to naturally explain the empty tomb. Here's a few of the theories. There's many. Here's a few that he puts out in his book. First theory is that the disciples stole and hid the body. Another theory is that Joseph of Arimathea, who was charged to take care of the body, take it down from the cross, never actually buried it. He kept it and hid the body. Another theory is that the women who went to visit the tomb on Easter morning went to the wrong tomb. Another one is that Jesus revived when he was on the cross, having merely swooned on the cross, but he didn't actually die. And so when he was taken down, he was still alive, and that's a theory. There's many other such theories. So what I'd like to present is several if-then scenarios that the scriptures bring out to us. If this, then what? If this, then what? So I think we're all familiar with if-then realities in our own lives. Like if I eat too much and I don't exercise, then I'm going to gain weight. If I eat less and exercise, then I will lose weight and be in better health, better shape. If I plant flowers and water and fertilize them, then they'll grow up and I can enjoy their beauty. If I text while I'm driving, then I increase the chances of an accident. In fact, it's an old bumper sticker, maybe you've seen it. Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to meet him, right? So let's think about the if then. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then what? If he was just a good guy, a moral teacher, lived a good life, had great teachings and taught us a lot about what's important in life, but he didn't rise from the dead, then what? And if the disciples of Jesus stole the body, then why didn't anybody see them steal the body? We know that there were extra Roman troops and soldiers sent to Jerusalem because the Romans knew that the Jews believed that Messiah would come during Passover, and there'd been a lot of commotion about this rabbi named Jesus, and there were many Jews believing that he was the Messiah. So the Jews were hopeful, but the Romans were fearful, and so they sent extra troops to ensure that there wouldn't be an insurrection and to keep an extra eye on this rabbi named Jesus. So if the disciples or someone else stole the body, how come nobody saw it? Because there were extra eyes watching. There were extra guards at the tomb. How come nobody said, oh, I saw those disciples. I saw them dragging this body. How come nobody saw them? If the disciples stole the body, or someone else did, then why didn't anybody ever find that body or the remains? Surely they've looked, because they all were wondering with these claims. If the disciples stole the body and it was a conspiracy, then how could they and all the others that claimed to have seen him after he rose from the dead keep a conspiracy under wraps? In one place in Scripture, it says that there were over 500 people that saw him at one time. How could the 12 disciples and over 500 people keep a conspiracy quiet? You'd think one person would leak, right? One person would be like, I didn't really see him risen. My brother told me to say it, and I just said it, and it's not true. It's a conspiracy. You know, I have an inside scoop. You'd think someone would have broke rank and said, it's not true. Or if the disciples stole the body, then, first of all, I don't think they were bright enough to do that, but if they stole the body, then, and it was a conspiracy, why would they be willing to die and give their lives up, not only give the rest of their lives up for living for him, but actually give their lives up to die for him? If it was all a cover-up, why would they be willing to die for a cover-up? Well, Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, brought up several of these if-then scenarios. And so what I'd like us to do is simply look at the text and look at what Paul said, if this, then this, and if this, then this, okay? Several if-then scenarios. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then what? What are the implications if he didn't rise? Well, Paul surmises what then if he isn't risen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. He writes, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith also is vain. You know what the word vain means? It literally means useless. So if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he's saying all preaching is vain. All the preaching about Jesus for the last 2,000 years was useless. It's complete vanity. All my preaching for the last 34 years was useless. It has no value whatsoever if he didn't rise from the dead. And it says, your faith, your very essence of your faith in God through Jesus is vain and useless if he didn't rise from the dead. Now, he goes on. In 1 Corinthians 15, 17, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your faith is worthless. It has absolutely no value. You can't cash it in for anything of any value. It's worthless. And if he didn't rise from the dead, you're still in your sins. You're still stuck. You still have no remedy for man's greatest problem, which is sin. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, you're still in your sins, and now you have to pay for your sins now and for eternity. You bear the penalty and the punishment for sin. If he didn't rise from the dead, then you're still stuck, and I'm still stuck with my greatest problem that I can't do a single thing about myself. He goes on, 1 Corinthians 15, 18, if Christ isn't raised, then those also who have fallen asleep or died physically in Christ have perished. So he said, if you were a follower of Christ and you were in Christ and he didn't rise from the dead and you died, then that's it. You're perished. You have no hope after that. And then verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15, 19, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, then we are of all men most to be pitied. If we're putting our faith in Christ just to help, ask him to help us in this life and make this life better and help us get through the tough times of life, and that's it, then Paul said, we are of all men most to be pitied. Pity you. I feel sorry for you, Paul said. If Christ isn't raised and you've just trusted him for this life, pity you. Pity you. King James Version says, we are of all men most miserable. Like, if that's it, just like I'm looking to Jesus to help my life and this life, and that's it, and there's nothing beyond this that I'm hoping for, then what's the use? What's the purpose? If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then there's no hope for us to be raised from the dead. And then when we die, and that's it. We're just 6 feet under, and there is no more, and that's it. And if we don't have hope or assurance that we can be raised, then Paul gives us some advice. He said, if Christ isn't raised, then you can't be raised, and if you can't be raised, then let me give you some advice. And you know what his advice is? 1 Corinthians 15, 32b. If the dead are not raised, then let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Whoa, that's it? If Christ isn't raised, then we can't be raised. Then chuck it all. Forget it all. Give yourself over to pleasure and grab everything that you can now. Eat, drink, get drunk, get high, have sex in any form you can. Splurge, indulge, consume, get it all now because this is it. Eat, drink, and be merry because it might all be over tomorrow. If it's all over tomorrow, then you better get it today. You better do it all because the clock is ticking and none of us knows for sure, so you better grab all the gusto you can. Do whatever makes you feel good and happy now because this is all there is, folks. This is it. So I ask you, is Jesus dead or alive? Did he rise from the dead? What do you believe? If you don't believe he's risen from the dead, then you go down one trail. If you do believe he's risen from the dead, then you go down a different trail and the implications of what that means for me and you. If he is risen from the dead, that changes absolutely everything. If he's risen from the dead, that means we can be raised from the dead. And if we can be raised from the dead, that changes everything, not only in this life, but the life to come. And if that's all true, then I give him everything. I give him my all. I give him all of my allegiance and my devotion. And I trust him with everything. Everything. My whole life is his, if it's true. And if it's not true, then chuck it all. So I ask you, is he dead or alive? And then I ask you, are you dead or alive? Once you answer the question, is Jesus dead or alive, then you must ask yourself, am I dead or alive? Because you can't be both. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. Nobody can. So first let me tell you the bad news, and then let me tell you the good news. The bad news is that we're all dead. We're all spiritually dead. The Bible makes it absolutely clear that we're spiritually dead. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin entered into the world and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. So every person ever born since Adam and Eve was born physically alive, but spiritually dead. It spread. It spread to every human being that has ever lived was born spiritually dead. And they remain spiritually dead until there's a resurrection, a personal resurrection. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. Sin caused a spiritual death. And there's no getting around it. It's been passed on. It's inerrant. It came with the package of spiritual death when you were born. But Jesus came to conquer sin and death through his death and resurrection to make a way for us to be raised from the dead spiritually. That's why he came, to make that possible. Ephesians 2:4-6 clearly says, but God, we're dead spiritually, but that's not the end of the story. But God, being rich in mercy, abundant in mercy, because of what? Because of his great love, because he loves us and he cares about us, didn't leave us in our condition. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, that's when he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you've been saved, not by works, not by effort, not by anything you can do. And he what? He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's very clear. We were spiritually dead because of sin, and only God can make us alive through Christ. He raises us up from the dead and he gives us a brand new life. He makes us a brand new creature, a brand new person. Another great verse is Romans 4:17b. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. So everyone's dead. He gives life to those that are dead. Only he can. We can't give life to ourselves. And then it says he calls into being that which does not exist. So just like what happened physically when you were conceived. At the moment of conception, you became a living being. Before that, you didn't exist. And at that moment, you became. You didn't exist before, and all of a sudden, you became. And the same thing happens spiritually when you put your faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit causes a rebirth to happen. At that moment, just like conception, a spiritual rebirth happens and God calls into existence something that didn't exist before and now it does exist. You become a spiritual person, a spiritual man or woman. And you become spiritual for eternity. What an amazing thought. Just like no person could raise themselves from the dead spiritually, there's never been a dead person that willed themselves to come back to life. Even Jesus didn't raise himself from the dead. God the Father raised him from the dead. And so we can't raise ourselves from the dead spiritually. Only God can do that. And when we admit there's nothing we can do to be good enough to raise ourselves from the dead, and we just call out to God and say, God, I admit I'm spiritually dead and I'm a sinner and I'm hopeless and helpless and without hope in this world, but would you raise me from the dead? And I believe that's why you sent your son. Then he imparts his life and we're raised spiritually from the dead. It's amazing. It's a miracle. So are you dead or alive? Can't be both. I'll never forget when my grandmother died. It was my dad's mom. They actually lived right next door to us. And so we were very close. And I was 15 years old when my grandma died. It was the first time that someone that I knew or close to me had died. And it was actually the first time that I ever saw a dead body. And I remember walking into the funeral home and walking up to the open casket. And I don't know why I thought this, but I was expecting my grandma, when I walked up, to look at me and smile with that tender, warm, compassionate, teary look in her eyes, smile that she always did whenever I went to her house. And she didn't smile. And then I expected her to just sit up in that casket and to reach out and hug me and hold me like she always did. And then I actually looked at her hands. They were crossed like this on her stomach. And I looked at those hands and I thought about every time that she used those hands to wipe tears from my eyes as a little boy. I remembered all the times that she used those hands to embrace me and hug me and then would say she loved me. I thought about all the times that she used those hands to make meals for her family and for us. I thought about the times that she gave me candy with those hands and said, "Don't tell your mother." And I wanted her so bad to come back. I stood there wanting her smile just one more time and wanted her hug one more time and wanted her to say something to me one more time and wanted her to hold me one more time. Folks, in that moment, there was no debate if my grandmother was dead or alive. She was dead. There wasn't an inkling of life. And so it is spiritually. Either we're dead or we're alive. We can't be both. And just because someone gives mental assent or intellectual assent to Jesus and who he is and what he did doesn't mean that you've ever come to life spiritually. There has to be a spiritual resurrection. So I want to ask you again, have you been raised from the dead? I don't think there is a more important question that you can answer than whether you've been raised from the dead spiritually. Because you may well believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that's awesome because that's the premise. But if he's raised from the dead and you're not, then there's no more tragic news than that. If you've been raised from the dead spiritually, you'll know it. Just as well as Lazarus knew when he died and Jesus raised him back from the dead physically. You couldn't say he didn't think he was still dead. I mean, there was no debate. And just as surely as he knew that he was raised back from the dead physically, if you've been raised from the dead spiritually, you'll know it because your life will change. You become a brand new person. There's a whole new life living inside you that's the life of Christ. And you know what else? Not only will you know it if you've been raised from the dead, people around you will notice it because you become different. You begin to change. 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam, all die, spiritual death. But also in Christ, all will be made alive. Have you been made alive yet? Have you been raised yet? If not, today could be the day that you are raised from the dead. On the same day we celebrate the resurrection of Christ could be the day that you are raised from the dead. What could be more glorious than that? 2 Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, we have this sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, because we can't fix the problem. We can't heal ourselves. We can't make ourselves come back to life. We would not trust ourselves, but we trust in God who what? Raises the dead. He raises the dead. So have you been raised from the dead yet? If yes, you'll know it. And we who have been raised from the dead have reason to celebrate that he's been raised, and so have we, because of him and him alone, Christ alone. If you haven't been raised, then today can be the day that you're raised from the dead. You say, I'm not going to trust in myself. I could never be good enough. I could never earn it. I could never do anything to make myself come back to life. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. That's why he came. So would you close your eyes and would you bow your head? This is a very important moment in this service. Maybe you know the story of Christ. Maybe you even believe that he's raised from the dead. But you haven't put your sole trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to raise you from the dead, to give you life. Maybe you have an intellectual understanding, but you've never experienced a personal resurrection. 41 years ago in September, I came to that place where I realized I was a sinner and couldn't do anything to change myself, and I invited Christ in my life, and I was raised from the dead in that moment, and I've been alive spiritually ever since. Struggle, yes, but alive. Weaknesses, yeah, but alive. And if you realize that you've not been raised from the dead yet spiritually, maybe you've tried to be a good person, tried to be religious, but you've never been raised from the dead, that's where new life begins. And if you've never done that, today can be the day, and it's simple. You just say, I admit I'm a sinner. I admit that I'm spiritually dead and that I can't raise myself from the dead. And God, I ask you, by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that you'd raise me from the dead spiritually, because I want to live forever. And I know that you did something about the sin problem. You died and paid the penalty for your sin on that cross so I could be forgiven, so that I could have new life. If you're here this morning and you've never done that, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And in raising your hand, you're saying, I want to be raised from the dead spiritually. And so no one's looking. I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hand. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, but you say, I want to be raised from the dead today. I want Jesus to come into my life. I want to give him my life. Would you just slip up your hand right now, right where you are? And you're saying, Jesus, come into my life. I can't raise myself from the dead, but you can raise me from the dead. Wonderful. Is there anybody else? Just slip up your hand. Say, I want to be raised. Jesus, I ask you to do what nobody else can do, to raise me from the dead and to give me spiritual life. Anybody else? Beautiful. Beautiful. Wonderful. Father, I want to thank you for every hand raised. I want to thank you for those that aren't raising their hands, but they know they need to be raised from the dead, and they realize this morning that only you can do that. And Lord, as we humbly come before you and say, do what we can't do, I pray that you would birth new life right now, that many would be birthed into the kingdom, would be birthed into new life this very moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. We have reason to celebrate this morning because Jesus was raised from the dead. And we can celebrate that we've been raised from the dead, those of us who've accepted Christ, and those of us who accepted Christ this morning.